I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. Together we're the functional nerds.
And John, we are back. It is as of this episode, we're what, a week out from Christmas?
Yes.
I believe Hanukkah is already happening.
As we're recording this, it's almost done, actually.
Yeah. I have no idea about Kwanzaa.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know when it starts.
Nope.
And then you've got what, like the winter solstice? This is definitely the holiday season.
We are smack dab in the middle of it, for sure.
The winter holiday season.
Yes.
We should say.
Yes.
It's winter because, you know, there's tons of stuff going on.
I will say this. Last week I went to my son's winter concert. As everyone knows, I'm a music teacher too. So I have my winter concert at school coming up in a couple of weeks. But my son's was early and it was at night. And he's in middle school now. He's in sixth grade. And he did great. He plays clarinet. There's like literally like 150 kids in his band. It's insane. But they had like their jazz band and wind ensemble. He's not in those yet. He's just in like regular sixth grade band right now. He did great. And all the band sounded amazing. We're really lucky because my son is, as everyone knows, is on the autism spectrum. And we moved to this district so that he could get the autism services. They also happen to have a fantastic music department. That's not why we moved here, but we feel so grateful that that's there because that's a strength for him and he gets to participate in these great bands and do really well. Like, it's not like the special needs kid is in it. Yay for us for being, he's good. Like, he can really play. And of course, like, his dad's a music teacher and I like make him practice every day. So like that's why he's able to do it, but he's got a good aptitude for it. And, so anyway, it's great. But the point is, you were going to make about it being called, so they're called winter concerts. They're not called holiday concerts. And what's good about that, you don't have to do all holiday things then. You can do other stuff. And I've started doing that in the past few years too. I realized, I'm like, I don't have to do all holiday stuff. I can do some holiday stuff and then just a piece of music. It's a winter concert. It's not a holiday concert. So that actually, I could just speak as a band teacher. And I think it was the same thing with my son's school. He did, you know, they did a Christmas tune and they did a Hanukkah tune. And then they just did a piece called the West Wind Overture, which is just a band song. It's not anything. It's just a tune, you know? So it's good because then that way you don't have to, you know, you have more choices in terms of which program. So there you go.
Nice. Yeah. I think I've said this before, and I know I've said it online on social media. My favorite album at this time of year is A Charlie Brown Christmas.
Oh, sure. Sure.
And it's the Vince Gilliardi trio.
Mm-hmm.
And what I love about it is it doesn't necessarily feel like what you would consider a traditional Christmas or holiday album.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels like a jazz album.
Yes. Well, that's what it
and
is.
And he sprinkles, and he sprinkles in so many different little licks and different things. It's just, I love that album. And it's so mellow.
It's a great piano trio album, just piano, bass and drums. Yeah. And, you know, does the holiday tunes. Well, it's funny. It's because like his original tunes became holiday tunes. You know, that's what it was like, you know, he's got some traditional holiday tunes on there, but then he's got a lot of originals that are just, they've become these standards now, these holiday kind of standards. When you said that, that reminded me that Steve Vai, guitar virtuoso, you know,
part of G3.
Yes. Do you remember the Merry Axmas albums?
Mm-hmm.
You could probably find those on Spotify now.
Yep.
There's at least two of them. I'm sure they probably did more, but it was like all your guitar hero guys, your Steve Vai, Joe Satriani, Eric Johnson, Steve Morse, all those dudes, people, I should say. I'm sure there's some non-dudes on there too. And they just,
I'd be shocked if Lita Ford wasn't on there.
She could be on there. Jennifer Batten might be on there too. I'm not sure. But also even people that weren't necessarily instrumental things, like I know like Neil Sean from Journey has a tune on one of there. I think like Joe Perry from Aerosmith has a tune on there on one of them. So anyway, they're just like, if you like rock, you know, metal guitar. And this is sort of pre-Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Maybe it's like just when the first Trans-Siberian Orchestra thing came out. So anyway, there's some cool tunes on that. And Steve Vai does one of the Charlie Brown Christmas songs, The Christmas Time Is Here. He does a really cool version of that. That got me thinking about this week. There's a bunch of videos that, like, YouTube videos from this current tour called Generation X. Are you familiar with Generation
no,
X?
That's cool.
So Generation X is just a concert tour that's out there right now. And it's five guitar players. It's Steve Vai. You could probably guess some of the rest of them. So it's Steve Vai. It's Yngwie. It's Zakk Wylde from Ozzy Osbourne's band. It's Nunu Bettencourt from Extreme. And it's Tosin. Oh, I can't think of his last name now. He's a younger guy. And he's from a band called Animals as Leaders. So all these great. And it's actually really smart. What they did is they use the same bass player, drummer, and keyboardist. So they have the same backing band and they each do a set. And the way I would really like to go to it the next time they're around the area. So I think, like, you know, Nunu Bettencourt goes first. He does like a short set, and then Zakk Wylde comes out and does a tune with Nuno. And then Zakk Wylde does his set. And then, you know, Yngwie comes out and does a song with Zach. Or what, I don't know what the order is, but you could see how it does. But the backing band never changes. Like, they just keep playing.
Yeah.
And then I think at the end, then they do like a big five, you know, all five of them up there at the same time with the whole band. And if you search online, it's better because on G3, they would always do like a jam.
And
you went to, and it was always like some kind of blues jam, you know, it was, you know, something where, and it's fine. It was cool. It's fun to see those guitar players playing, but Vi was kind of like, you know, that's fun, but I'd like to really take advantage of the fact that we have five of us. And I don't want it just to be like a wank fest on a blues, like nothing wrong with that, but you know, that's whatever. So he wrote out arrangements of songs where you need five guitar players. So if you can YouTube it, they have a version of Bohemian Rhapsody instrumental with five guitar parts, like doing all the vocal things, doing all the guitar solos. Written out, it's all like phone video, so you got to take the sound with a grain. It's not professionally shot stuff. So that's really cool. And they do a version of Hocus Pocus by Focus. Do you know Hocus Pocus? So the like, so some really cool covers of the five guitar players, like playing all these harmonies together and everything. So it's really interesting. But that went off on a tangent.
That's funny because my brother has a smartphone for the first time in his life. Mm-hmm. And he and our cousin text a lot. They text a lot about music and because they're both guitar players and they grew up together. And so, you know, they learned guitar together and they just riff off each other all the time. And anyway, he comes into the kitchen and I'm standing there and he's like, "Hey, I need to text Steve. How do you spell Yngwie Malmsteen?" And I said, "STEVEVAI." And he looked at me and he's like, "No." And I said, "Well, I don't know how to spell Malmsteen either." And he just laughed. He's like, "Oh, okay, never mind."
I'll never forget, like, one Guitar Magazine article. It was somebody who wasn't in, like, they were interviewing some guitar player who played in a more, you know, simplistic kind of style, you know, probably some grunge band or old punk band or something. And you know, in the article, he said, he's like, you know, he's like, "I'm no Yahweh Mengelstein," but so I was like, "Yahweh Mengelstein." So anytime I think of that, I can probably
Yngwie.
Well, Yngwie is apparently like just a weird name in general. It's like, he's Swedish. It's not a common Swedish name either. It's a very unique, I mean, has some sort of Viking, but it might stand for like a little Viking, which would be weird because Yngwie is actually like super tall.
He's
like
a big
6 foot four or something. Yeah. So he's not little. He's a big dude. But anyway. So that's So there's check out those Merry Xmas albums. They're pretty cool. They're fine. I hadn't thought about those in years, but
now switching topics slightly, I feel like I say this every single year, but I know that you wait until the Arrowverse shows hit Netflix. But right now, I feel like those shows are just incredible.
I'm glad to hear that. And we could talk about it because, you know what? I won't watch these until June. So even if you tell me stuff, I mean, don't go crazy with the spoilers, but even if you tell me stuff, I'll forget it by the time I watch this. And I've also, you know, in my blog feeds, this stuff comes up anyway.
Sure.
So I know that they're doing Elseworlds now or about to do it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Just for myself, I've seen, you know, Oliver in the Flash outfit and Flash in the Green Arrow outfit. Yep. So I know that's, I guess, what's going on right now.
There's a lot. So that's tomorrow.
Okay.
As we're recording this, that's tomorrow.
Okay.
But anyway, what were you going to say?
Well, I'm going to say that I watched all of them and this past summer. It took me all summer to get through all four shows and enjoyed them, but had the feeling that, okay, I really like Legends. I really like Flash. Arrow and Supergirl, it's not that I don't like them. It's that I don't know if I like them enough anymore to go through 23 episodes. Like it's so much. Cause again, this is the downside of doing it the way that I do it now, is that you look down the barrel of, wow, this is like, if you look at it as one big thing, it's like 90 episodes.
I know.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
That's rough.
It's well, look, it's watching TV. It's not rough.
It is.
But
it is. It can be. I mean, if the show isn't engaging you, if it's not good, if it's not bringing you in, then that becomes a chore. It's just like when we talked a couple of weeks ago about books and when do you bail on a book?
Yeah.
Because eventually, you know, if you're having bad feelings about a book early on, you're investing a lot of time in that. It's the same thing with a show. You know, you're investing a lot of time in a show. I've had plenty of people recommend TV shows to me that I start and I'm going like, so here's a great example. Find someone in our audience, and you probably could find someone, but I would say the majority of people will probably say that Breaking Bad is a fantastic TV show.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't get through the first episode.
I bring that one up all the time when I talk about, you know, the streaming world we live in. Well, and that's one, well, I haven't even tried. I've never even tried, but it's like when I talk about all this and keeping up with it, that's one of the examples that I use. I'm like, I know there's however many seasons, if it's like five seasons or something like that of Breaking Bad. I'm like, there's five seasons of Breaking Bad sitting there that I haven't gotten to yet, that everyone says is the greatest thing ever. Still haven't gotten to it. So do I want to sit through season 8 of Arrow or whatever season they're up to with that at this point, or where it's okay? It's not bad. I never sit there and roll my eyes with how bad it is. It's I think I talked about it after I finished watching this recent season of all of them. It's like by the end I end up liking it. Like I like the way they usually wrap it up, and I like the, you know, I've grown to enjoy it, but I just, especially Arrow and Supergirl especially, I felt like the first, you know, 5 to 7 episodes of those seasons were like really slow going and like took a long time to get moving, and I just kind of like, oh, this is kind of boring, I don't know, you know. It's almost like, especially with Arrow, I kind of feel like maybe they've told all the stories that they should tell with Arrow at this point. Like, maybe, and I'm, look, the season you're saying it's great, and that's what happens sometimes. They have rebound seasons when you're like, well, I gotta watch it now, you know. So that's kind of what ends up happening.
Yeah, so let me see if I can do spoiler-free talks about this, because I realize that there are listeners out there who probably aren't caught up as well. So if you finished last season's stuff, all of these episodes, you know that on Arrow, he turned himself into the FBI in exchange for immunity for the rest of his team.
Right.
The city passed an anti-vigilante act. So they're not allowed to go out and be vigilantes anymore. And if they do, it breaks the immunity act, right?
Okay.
And they will all go to prison with Oliver. Felicity and William went into witness protection.
Okay.
So that's what happened on Arrow. So there's a comic book in Green Arrow's continuity where he goes to prison. And I feel like I want to say it was Supermax.
Okay.
Was the name of it. And I feel like they're drawing off of that quite a bit for this season, because Oliver is in prison and it is not a pleasant place for him. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's similar to Watchmen, where, you know, he's locked up with people that he locked up.
Right.
So you've got that going on. You've got Felicity and William, you know, trying to survive in witness protection. You've got the Black Canary, or what do they call her? The Black Siren?
Black Siren. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So she's now living Laurel's life.
Right.
As the district attorney. You've got the new Black Canary is, you know, in charge of the police now because Quentin Lance died.
Right.
Spoilers. At the end. At the end of the last season. So she's running the police department. Mad Dog is running a youth center.
Okay.
And John and, I'm blanking on his name.
Curtis.
Curtis. John and Curtis are working for Argus.
Okay.
So that's kind of your setup, right? And it's been a really intense season for them. Over on Flash, you had, Flash saves the town from the thinker guy.
Right.
And with the help of his daughter.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so you've got that whole fallout going on over on Flash now, where, you know, by helping him save the city, she changed the timeline.
Right.
So now they're dealing with that. So you've got that going on. Over on Supergirl, Supergirl's gotten political.
Okay.
But I feel like it's in a good way. They've gone down almost the Young Justice kind of route, where now people are calling aliens roaches.
Oh, okay.
And you've got the sort of disenfranchised human population rising up and starting almost like militia type groups that are anti-alien. So I feel like that's drawing a little bit from the whole Lex Luthor for president storylines from Superman, right? Where aliens have taken your jobs. Sound familiar? Aliens have, you know, they've invaded our country. They've come here illegally. They are taking our jobs and they're getting all the protections and we're not getting any protections and so on and so forth. And it's going down that road. And that's been very, very interesting as far as I'm concerned.
Cool. Well, I'm glad to hear that, because it will probably make me watch them all again next summer when they all come
out. And then Legends of Tomorrow. Magic. Right, they released Magic,
right,
into the world. So yeah. Now Constantine's part of the crew, which is just freaking awesome. I love Constantine.
I'm telling you, Legends has been my favorite. Like, even when the first season, which is kind of considered not as good, or just, you know, I think everyone likes it starting the second season, but like that's been my favorite from the beginning. I just feel like they really embrace like what they can do in that format, and. Yeah, I don't know. I just always enjoy that one. And I'm always like a sucker for time travel stuff. So and that's probably why I like Flash too, because there's usually some sort of time travel element for Flash as well.
And so all of that leads us into Elseworlds.
Okay.
And you said you've seen some of the stuff on that.
I've seen like the stills and everything of them switching outfits and what have
the,
you.
The Elseworlds that I'm familiar with from the comics were things like, you know, Batman as a knight in medieval times.
Oh, okay.
And, stuff like that. So Marvel had the What If comics.
Right, sure.
What if Jean Grey didn't survive and become the Dark Phoenix? You know, what if Peter Parker wasn't bitten by a spider? What if it was Flash Thompson? You know, something like that. And it was always these what if kind of things. And I felt like Elseworlds in DC was their answer to what ifs, or possibly what ifs were the answer to Elseworlds. I don't know how that worked, but it was always like these alternate reality kind of stuff, alternate things that were happening. And this year, what they're doing, I don't know if you've seen all of the ads. I put a couple of them up on my Facebook because it just looked awesome. So Flash has always had John Wesley Shipp as part of the team as Barry's father. But And then he also played Jay Garrick.
Right.
An alternate Flash. Earth, Flash. Mm-hmm. Fans know that he was Barry Allen in the 90s.
Right.
So in Elseworlds, he's playing Barry Allen from the 90s.
Oh, that's funny.
So, yeah, I think everything starts on his world.
That's really cool. Yeah, that's why I like Flash, you know, like I love alternate reality kinds of things. I love time travel things. Like,
yeah.
You know, there's people will sometimes complain about the tropes of genre, but you know, as is often the case, like tropes are tropes for a reason, because they usually, if you do them right, they usually work. I don't know. Like I said, I love time travel stuff. I love alternate reality stuff. I love alternate world stuff. I was thinking about that with like Stargate. Stargate was good for alternate timeline, alternate reality episode, maybe once a season or once every other season or something like that. And I always enjoyed that kind of stuff.
Well, and it's fun because, you know, they've got him wearing the velvet red suit as well, mm-hmm. which just shows off the fact that even in his, God, he's got to be in his 50s or 60s at least.
The dude
is still ripped.
Yeah.
He must work out, which is good for him, you know. Yeah. Good for him. But yeah, so they're having that. You mentioned that Oliver wakes up, or somehow Oliver's aware, and turns out that he is now the Flash. He's Barry Allen.
Okay.
And Barry wakes up and realizes that he's now the Arrow, the Black or the Green Arrow.
Mm.
And is aware. And I don't know what's happening with Supergirl yet. I haven't seen an ad on that necessarily. And then the other big thing is that they are bringing Batwoman in.
Right. I've been seeing that coming up in the blogs for like months now.
And for the first time ever, they have said Batman.
Interesting.
They've actually said it. They've said, mm-hmm. Batman's a myth.
Hmm.
So they are, this is their first foray into Gotham. And this is going to be, they mentioned little things like on Supergirl, she's mentioned our friend from Gotham.
Mm.
And you've had Oliver say, you know, I'm not like Bruce Wayne.
You've
had little snippets like that. This is the very first time they've ever said Batman. And then obviously they're going to have Batwoman. And supposedly they're holding her really true to her comic book origins, which is going to be just awesome.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Oh, I'm going to end up watching it in the summer again. What am I going to do? I can't quit you. I know it's a totally different timeline and on a different network. Is Gotham, because I know Gotham takes place when Batman is like a kid.
Yeah.
Is that connected at all to the DCCW stuff? Or is that just totally
there
separate?
There have been...
I have
seen them waffle back and forth on that.
Okay.
I have seen them waffle. I don't know that there's a direct connection, but it's also supposed to be set in the past. So it totally could be.
Yeah.
We don't know. And by the way, Gotham is coming up with its final season.
Right. I knew that had to be coming to an end pretty soon because that's been on for a while now.
And supposedly this is the year that young Bruce Wayne really steps into the role of vigilante and starts doing stuff.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. That's interesting. That's cool. Yeah.
And Selina becomes Catwoman and so on and so forth. So
cool. Yeah. I haven't watched that at all.
I have not watched Gotham since the first season.
Yeah.
To be honest with you.
Now, is Black Lightning still separate from the other four shows?
As far as I'm aware, yes.
Yeah. Cause I know you really liked the first season.
I did. And I forgot to set my DVR to start recording that this year. So I have not been watching that, but I've seen a lot of the commercials for it and I'm kicking myself that I didn't, because I want to watch it, and I want to watch it with all the other shows, and I just blanked on it. I completely forgot to set up the DVR.
Well, you probably have a million things to watch anyway, like, you know, if you know, I've done it before too, because when these shows were on Hulu and I was watching them week to week, they only had like the previous five episodes, you know, or the most recent five episodes. You know, if you really wanted to watch it in season, you know, what I did with The Flash during its first season, I didn't get Hulu until, I don't know, Flash was already, his first season was already like five episodes into the first season or more. And I just bought like the first couple of episodes on Amazon. You know, they're like $2 each or something like that. So if you really wanted to like set your DVR, I don't know what episode number they're up to, but you can always even just buy the first couple of episodes, then just watch them. But you got a million things to watch anyway, so you probably don't need to do that. You could probably just wait till it shows up on Netflix in June, like I did.
I will also throw out there that as we're recording this, tomorrow is the season finale or series finale for Doctor Who.
Oh, I know you've been enjoying that.
Oh, man, have I been enjoying that. That has been just a great show. It's a breath of fresh air. I'm excited watching it again. You know, I got so mired and kind of bogged down in the Capaldi Moffat era.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you this. Well, first of all, where, if at all, do those show up? Does Doctor Who show up streaming? At one point, it was on Netflix. I don't think it is anymore.
I don't think they have any. I think they're all on Amazon Prime at this point. As far as the new season, they are on BBC America.
Right.
So I'm assuming it's on BBCAmerica.com.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how that works.
Yeah.
I don't think that they. I'm pretty sure you could probably buy the season on Amazon Prime and be watching it. I know older seasons of Doctor Who, of the current version of Doctor Who, are available just as part of your Prime Video. I think everything else is either on BBC America or BritBox.
I see. One of the things that I am almost done watching now, because I watched Daredevil, and we can get into Daredevil a little bit too. Very much liked it. Of course, got canceled. We'll talk a lot about that. But I wanted to watch something, you know, because again, when you watch all these shows and you keep up with things, it's, again, you don't want your TV watching to feel like a chore. You want it to be like a reward or just something to relax with or whatever, you know. So unfortunately, when you watch all these shows, you kind of get to the point where you're just like playing catch up the whole time. It's like, oh, there's a season of Man in the High Castle I haven't gotten to yet. It's like, oh, there's a season of this that I haven't gotten. Like just the stuff that you've been watching. You can spend all your time just trying to stay caught up.
I'm trying to get to the point where I can watch season two of the Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
That just landed this week too.
And I love that show.
My in-laws love it too. They're super into it. So I know they haven't started season two yet either. They haven't had time to, but I told them, I'm like, oh, your show, like second season just launched. So I know they're looking forward to watching that. But you know, there's so many things that come up, like new things. And I'm like, that looks cool. And it's like, oh, but I got to catch up with all this. And I said, you know what? No, that stuff is going to be there. If I want to get into watching the second season of Luke Cage or Iron Fist or whatever, it'll probably be there for a while. It's okay. Like I want to watch something new that is sort of getting interest. So I'm almost done with it. I'm watching Bodyguard that's on Netflix.
Oh, yes. I started the first episode of that. Holy crap.
Yeah. Really like it. It's Rob Stark, as you know. Richard Madden is the lead actor. Did you pick up on that?
I did not.
Oh, the lead actor.
Yeah, because it's been so long since I've seen Game of Thrones.
Well,
it didn't even dawn on me.
Spoiler alert, Rob Stark is only in the first few seasons. I'll leave it there.
Yeah, I remember seeing the episode that you're talking about. I know when he leaves the show.
Yes. I wasn't saying for you. I was saying for our listeners that maybe are not up to date on Game of Thrones. But
remember. A rule of thumb for everyone listening. George R. R. Martin invites you to a wedding. You say no.
Yes, exactly. But anyway, Richard Madden, I think is how is his last name, is the lead actor in Bodyguard. He portrayed Rob Stark on Game of Thrones. He's a police officer who plays a bodyguard for, she's called the House Secretary. It's sort of like, I guess it's like the second in command to the prime minister in England. And it's so he's got to protect her, but she is politically kind of a hawk, you know, votes for. And, you know, and, so it's a lot of the stuff that we deal with in this country with privacy and all that.
And that actress, I'm sure you know, was a big part of the show MI5.
I don't know that show, so I did not know that she was on that. So there you go.
Which is another one of my favorites from the BBC from a long time ago. But I remember when that show, The Bodyguard, was running, and they released on YouTube the first 20 to 25 minutes of the first episode where he's on the train.
Yeah. That's a great first
episode. They released
episode,
that. Oh my God, you want to talk about it. And that's what hooked me immediately. And I was like, oh my God, where can I watch this? And it wasn't streaming anywhere yet. They were showing, you know, live shows on BBC. And then as soon as that hit Netflix, I added it to my list and I started watching the first episode. And holy crap, that is such a good show.
It's really good. Yeah, I really like it. I'm almost done with it. I'm on because there's only six episodes. It's like typical it's British really short, work. Yeah. But like the last episode is like an hour and a half, and most of the episodes are like coming up on 60 minutes, you know, so they're longer episodes. But really, yeah, it's intense, you know, and it deals with privacy and PTSD. And I think, you know, it's funny, it's like I think that dude's a really good actor. I'm like really impressed with his acting. I don't know. I didn't have a problem with him in Game of Thrones, but seeing him play a more, you know, contemporary kind of part, I was like, wow, this dude's a really good actor. Super thick accent though. And like, you kind of have to at some points maybe watch with the subtitles. I found myself going back. I'm like, I have no idea what he just said there. Like, you know, cause he's got really, I don't know if it's like a Scottish accent. Like the Scottish accents are a little harsher. I really can't tell the difference between them.
I'm going to get in so much trouble. I feel like that's a Northern accent.
Could be. I don't.
Cause it reminds me of Eccleston.
Okay.
And Jodie Whittaker in Doctor Who. They both have been credited with a quote unquote Northern accent.
That's probably what it is then. I couldn't tell you what the difference between them are, but it's pretty thick. But
So now you need to go on Amazon Prime and watch Gavin and Stacey and listen to the Welsh accent.
Well, there we go. That'll be nice. But yeah, if you like British shows and like kind of political thrillers and things, it's very good. And again, I have to admit, one of the reasons why I wanted to do it, you look at it, oh, it's only six episodes.
Yeah,
that's cool. It's not a big, huge commitment. It's like, oh, I can be into this for a week or two and like get into it, and then I can move on to something else. And I have to say, that's really appealing as opposed to the CW stuff. And again, you don't have to watch all four shows, but because they do that crossover, you do kind of feel compelled. So it's like, well, what do I want to watch? Six episodes or 90 episodes? And you're like, I don't know if I'm going to want to like stick with this for 90 episodes, where it's like, if it's six. So it's like, well, if you don't like the first episode, you don't continue with it. And if you like it, it's like, it'll be done in a week. It's cool. You know, I don't know. It's weird like that. We judge things. You talked about that last time about picking shorter books sometimes.
Yeah.
You're just like, oh, I don't want to commit to an 800 pager. This is 200 pages. Let's do that one instead. Like, because even if I don't love it, I'll be able to move on to something else in a week or two.
Yeah. And on that point, I mean, I was reading shorter or listening to shorter books, and I was doing, you know, one book every 2 days.
Yeah.
And then I started a longer book, and it took me a little over 2 weeks to get through it. And I just finished it like 2 days ago, and I felt exhausted, and I kept with it because I kept going, you know, like I have in the past, something's going to happen. And, and, you know, I finally got through that book and I just said, I'm moving on.
Yeah.
I'm moving on. Yeah. I can say that I read that book now, but I'm moving on.
Yeah, it happens, you know, and I think what keeps me coming back to longer books, at least anyway, is in general, if they're good.
It depends on the book.
Yeah,
and it depends on your mood.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it goes back to what DiNardo said years ago on SF Signal. A lot of reading a book is the experience that you have reading the book. And if you're not in a good place, if you're not in a good place mentally, if you're not in a good place physically, that can impact your enjoyment of that book. And that has happened to him several times where he just, you know, he read a book and he didn't particularly care for it, but he recognized that a lot of it was that he was having, you know, he was not in a good spot.
Right. Right.
And I felt like I was in a good spot when I started this particular book, but it just started bringing me down.
And, you know, I think with viewing things too, it's the same idea. Because like I said, I didn't want to just keep catching up, and I kind of was like, well, it's a million superhero things and I watch all that. And I know I got a couple here still, but like, let's do something different. And same thing with animation, because I watched the Dragon Prince. And then right after that, I watched the most recent Voltron episode. All by the time Voltron season, but by the time this episode airs, I think there's another new Voltron season that'll be out, or pretty soon at least anyway. And after I watched Voltron, which that season ended up being great, but it was after watching two animated series back to back, I'm like, well, let's get some non-animated stuff in here. Like, I kind of, because I know the new season of Castlevania is out there, and I really liked that first season, so I want to get to that, but I was like, need a break from animation now. Let me go to something else. So did you watch Castlevania, the first season?
I have not seen Castlevania, no.
That's dark. That is not like the, you know, we talk often about how, you know, with the Dragon Prince and with Voltron, it's the Avatar alumni that run it, and we love that. This is not like that. This is much, much more grim and dark, and you may or may not like that in your animation, but I liked it quite a bit. And I hear the second season's even better, because the first season of Castlevania is really short. It's only like 5 episodes or something. This is, I think, more, it might be 10 or 15 episodes or something. And apparently better. And I liked the first season. So I do want to get into that when it comes out.
The video game Castlevania on the original Nintendo Entertainment System. Nintendo Entertainment System was one of my favorite games.
Yeah.
And it's one of those games where anybody who played an NES knows that there were certain techniques that you had to employ in order to get the character on the screen to do certain jumps. Mm-hmm. And one of those was, you know, taking the controller in your hand and whipping it up and trying to jump, right? That's going to make that character jump a little bit higher if you're doing that. Like if you're, you know, jumping around with the controller in your hand. So, Castlevania was one of my favorite games. I remember the second Castlevania, I think, wasn't as good, but I feel like some of the subsequent games were. And then they turned Castlevania into a Mortal Kombat type.
Oh, I don't even remember that.
Battle Royale kind of thing, and I did not care for those.
I'm aware that they exist, but my video game knowledge and experience basically ends after like 1991. I played video games up until like midway through high school, and then by the time late high school, I was pretty much out. Like, I had a Nintendo Entertainment System, and then I didn't play a video game again until I played some PC games in my mid-20s for a while. Really, just one of the Star Wars ones. I don't even remember which one. It was one of the ones where you got to run around with a lightsaber, but I couldn't tell you which one it is.
Probably Jedi Academy.
Could have been. It was a Jedi one, though. And
yeah, the Jedi Academy series was on PC. Those were really, really good.
Yeah, I liked it. I played that one game, and that was it. So my video. So I know that there were Castlevanias on subsequent systems that got more story driven, I believe. You know, I think there might have been ones for, I don't know. I'm seriously, like, I don't even know the systems. I don't know if it was like Sega systems or PlayStations or whatever, but I think that's where a lot of the story may originate. But it's good. It's you know, I don't know if you like fantasy kind of series, like it's a good one, but it's sort of more rooted in the real world. Like, there's like cardinals and popes and things like that running around with the vampires and everything. So it is kind of more rooted in reality, even though there's like magic and vampires, you know, but it's like, it's not an alternate world. It's not a secondary world.
Here's the big question. Do they have the boomerang? Because the boomerang was the best weapon as far as I was concerned. You had the whip, and you kept getting the whip longer and longer and longer, so you could hit things further out. And then you had that boomerang, and that boomerang did the most damage as far as I was concerned.
I'm trying to think. It kind of took a while for them to even get to fighting happening. So I don't remember. They must have had the whip. I don't think they had the boomerang, but they must have had the whip. Anyway, so I know I almost felt like the first season was just sort of prequel to what the second season becomes, because I enjoyed it the whole time that first season, but by the end, what they do in like the last, you know, half of that episode or the last 20 minutes of the last episode of season one is like, oh, this is the show. You know, it's like, oh, I see what they're doing now. Like, this is what's going to be, you know, here's going to be who the characters are, and they're going to do this quest or whatever. And that's how the first season ends. It's like, it's almost like the first four episodes are kind of prequel or setup, still enjoyable, but it's like you get to the end and you're like, oh, this is what this is going to be about. So I think that's why the second season is kind of getting better ratings and such, because I think it's now to the meat of what they wanted to, the story they wanted to tell.
You mentioned Voltron and Dragon Prince and that kind of style and the Avatar style. Are you going to watch She-Ra and the Princesses of Power?
Well, yeah.
Because that looks like that same kind of upbeat kind of style. And we had someone pick it a couple weeks back. To me, it looks really good. It's one of those, it's like, just like you were talking about, I keep adding these things to my list and I got to pick and choose which ones I'm going to watch. But that's definitely on my list. That looks like it could be really good.
Yeah, well, it comes back to what I was saying a few months ago. I really wish Netflix let you organize the stuff you want to watch better.
Because it's never like, gonna happen.
Yeah, because it's like, let me put all my animated shows in one box. Let me put all the comedy things in one thing. Let me put the documentaries in one. So then that way it's like, I feel like watching animation.
Let me give you a hack for that potentially.
Oh, okay.
You know that you can create profiles.
Yes.
What if you created different profiles for the different types of things that you want to use and want to watch?
That is genius. And wow, I think you solved my problem. I think I may try that. Wow, Patrick, good on you. How many profiles can you have anyway?
I have no idea.
Well, I guess I'll find out. I'll mess with it and find out. That's very interesting, Patrick. I saw someone like...
I just blew your mind.
What you did? Because I think like that would work. I should totally do that. Funniest thing I ever saw with the profile, someone did a screenshot of this. It was a couple years ago. And it was just like some bachelor dude. And I related so much to it. I just thought it was the funniest thing. He had a screenshot of his net, you know, when you go to your Netflix thing and you come to the profile page and you pick your little icon. And all he had two icons on there. And one was Mike and the other one was Drunk Mike. Like, these are the embarrassing things when I'm drunk that I'm going to watch. So we'll put that as something. So when I get drunk, I'll just go to this one. So it doesn't screw up my queue of the stuff I kind of want to watch. But, you know, so I thought that was really kind of genius because, you know, sometimes when you are, maybe you've had a few drinks or if you're just tired and kind of punchy, you just end up going on like a weird rabbit hole where you watch, you know, not wonderful, critically acclaimed television, but you watch a bunch of crappy movies. What's that?
Weekend at Bernie's.
Oh, yeah, or whatever. You know, you could totally. Well, I've watched embarrassing things just, you know, my son will watch full movies now, but as when he was much younger, he would watch the first 20 minutes of movies and that's it. Or first half hour, or maybe the first 40 minutes. Like his attention span was so small and he got so kind of obsessive about what happened in the first half hour. He would watch the first half hour of a movie and stop. So there were all these movies that I watched the first half hour of and never knew how they ended. And even though they weren't movies that I particularly liked, I went back and watched a lot of those movies. I'm like, well, the Santa Claus 2, I have to find out how the Santa Claus 2 ends. You know, so there is a lot of that. There is a lot of, or just like, I don't know why I'm admitting all the things that I'm embarrassed to admit, but like, I'll admit, I'll watch these like teen movies, you know, just like weird. Because I'm not even talking like 80s teen movie. I'm talking like current, you know, like Disney musical, you know, kind of things where I'll like, I went through a period where there was a student I had and he wanted to learn all these like songs from the various like Disney Channel, like High School Musical. And there was a bunch of other ones at the time, like Camp Rock. And they were all up on Netflix and I learned all these songs to teach these kids. And I was like, I'm watching Camp Rock tonight. I don't care. I'm watching it. I'm embarrassed, but I'm going to watch it anyway. And you know what? I always love it. I got to admit, like they're paint by numbers. They got their songs. It's like, you know, a bunch of 16 and 17 year old kids in it. Maybe it's that predictability and the music and whatever, but like, it's so comforting to me anytime I watch them. I mean, I don't watch them every night. I'll just, that's my, There again, I just admitted my guilty pleasure, everybody. Like, that's one I feel guilty about that I'm embarrassed to admit. There you go, everybody. I just admitted.
So you just reminded me of something that kind of brings us back to where we started, at least with Arrowverse. I've noticed that their seasons now have a early season villain that they're battling against, and then sometime around the holidays or mid-season, they defeat that villain, only to reveal that there's something bigger going on behind them. I don't know if you've noticed that formula.
I noticed that last season for sure. And you know, yeah, you're right. Now that I think about it, the previous season before too.
And now they're all doing that.
Yeah.
They're all doing that.
Yeah.
Which is fine, but you know, it's just an interesting, it's an interesting little switch that they do.
Yeah.
We've been talking a lot about Netflix. I'll throw out there that if you watched The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, there is a Christmas special that's dropping on Netflix here in the next few days, I believe.
Yes.
That's a Chilling Adventures of Sabrina Christmas thing.
Yes, very British of them to do that.
It is. Well, and Doctor Who is not doing a Christmas special. They're doing a New Year's special.
Oh, right. I think I heard about that too. Did you watch The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina?
The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, yes.
Yes, I will. I haven't yet. I will, because again, you know, watched all those Disney Channel shows. Ross Lynch, who is Austin in Austin and Ally, he plays the boyfriend, the Harvey, whatever his name is. So I will have to watch that because I watched, you know, four seasons of Austin and Ally with my son this summer. So
I don't know what level of stuff you let your son watch. My suggestion is to watch Chilling Adventures of Sabrina yourself first.
Oh yeah. I'm assuming because there's like satanic stuff and not that I care, but it might be a little, he likes and creepy. There's like, it hasn't happened yet, but I've been preparing my wife. I'm like, you know what? He doesn't get scared by scary stuff, by like horror stuff or whatever. I'm like, we're not there yet, but do not be surprised upon age 16 that he's just one of those horror nuts that will watch every horror movie and have like horror movie posters in his room. Like, I'm like, because he's not scared by it. Like, not that we've sat him down and watched Nightmare on Elm Street or anything, but any kind of he always thinks it's funny, which I think people who generally dig horror movies, I think they think it's funny a lot of times. But I'm just like, don't be prepared, because I think that's because my wife and I, neither one of us are into horror at all.
Okay.
So I'm just like,
well, there's, you know, there's blood, there's violence, there's some stuff going on and death and resurrection and zombies and you name it. So, I mean, it's definitely, this is not the Melissa Joan Hart.
Oh,
Sabrina.
I knew
this
that.
This is much darker.
Well, I will probably get to it eventually. And, you know, if I think it's not too bad, I'll probably, but he has not expressed interest in that. So he's got plenty of other stuff, but yeah, it's coming. Yeah. He's going to be, you know, he's going to have, you know, all the posters up, and he'll probably get like into Alice Cooper and stuff, but that's fine. That's fine. Well, everybody.
Alice Cooper, what if he gets into Ozzy and he just like brings you headless bats?
That's okay. I would be totally fine if my son got into Ozzy. I like me some Ozzy, so it's fine by me. Anyway.
I do not condone the head removal of bats, just to let people know, like, don't get all freaked out because I mentioned Ozzy biting the heads off bats. Yeah, I think he only did that once.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't condone that. I'm hoping that he just brings him headless rubber bats.
Yes. Sounds good.
And that's our holiday message.
Yes. Don't just bring rubber bats, not the real stuff. Well, this is probably going to be, if we looked at the calendar correctly, this will probably be the last episode of 2018. We generally don't put out episodes on, because I think we put out episodes on Tuesday, and I think the next two Tuesdays are going to be Christmas Day and New Year's Day. So as most podcasts do, we tend to not put stuff out then. So I want to take a moment to wish everybody I hope you all had a very good 2018, and hope you have an even better 2019. And thanks again for everybody that listens. And thanks to everybody that supports us on Patreon. As we said before, like, it really helps us do the show. So patreon.com/functionalnerds. And I am grateful for many things in my life. And I'm grateful that, Patrick and I have this opportunity to do this show every week, coming on 10 years, right? It's got to be 10 years pretty soon. I don't remember when we started, but I'm grateful to have this as a part of my life. And I'm grateful to all the work that Patrick does to put this show out every week and run tech support for everybody and everything else. And I'm glad that I have this opportunity to chat about stuff that we're interested in on a weekly basis. So Patrick, thanks for everything you do, and everybody, thanks for listening.
You're welcome. Thanks for booking all the shows, for handling all the publicists and the authors and hurting everybody. That was one of my least favorite things at SF Signal, just because it can be a challenge, you know, to get everybody kind of organized and together, and you do a great job with that, so I appreciate that.
Well thanks. I'm proud of some of the people we had a good year with the guests. Had Andy Weir, had Jim Butcher, like got some big ones this year. So So yeah, I was thinking of, like, pitching something to somebody, and I was thinking about, like, who are our biggest guests? And I rattled off in my head over the years who we've had. It's like, doing pretty good. If you got your Jim Butcher, your Andy Weir, your Brandon Sanderson, your James S.A. Corey, your the Goosebumps guy you even interviewed at a con, like Gail Carriger, like Anne
Dawson,
so many, like, just, I don't know, I'm proud of what we've done, like, and I'm glad that we've had the opportunity to have those people and have the opportunity to call some of those people friends of the show, I would say, you know, so it's nice. So anyway, not to keep patting each other on the back, but I'm grateful for everything we get to do. So,
and not only are we approaching 10 years, we're also approaching episode number 400.
Right. And you had some ideas about that.
I do.
So we'll have to talk about that.
I don't want to put them out there yet, but I've got some ideas on some stuff that we can do as a nice episode 400 kind of celebration.
Nice. Well, stay tuned.
Obviously, we're going to need, for the 10th anniversary, we're going to need a black book cover of some sort with black text on it.
Well, there you go.
And black trim on the pages. And we're just going to totally steal Brent Weeks' idea for a 10th anniversary edition.
Well, seems like a good idea to me. All right, everybody, have a good one, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Mo.
I'd like to say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves, and I hope we pass the audition.
Still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
Would you like a chili, baby?
I'm the one in the middle.